the house.
We trust that you're having a blessed day today. Here it is, the 20th day of March. And believe it or not, March is getting right on out of here, Lady Kim. But we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us in the midst of everything that we're going through. And we yet give him praise. And this is indeed the day that he's made. And so we're determined, in spite of, to rejoice and be glad in this day. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal as you're joining us, and let us know that everything is going good on your end as we prepare for this time together tonight. We will be in the 18th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and I believe there are about 17 verses there. Let's see.
I think so.
Yeah, about 17 verses. And we should be able to cover that tonight as we prepare for this time together. And so we're certainly grateful for each of you who are yet on the call and those who will join us. And then, of course, we have several platforms that we try to get the word out. We're grateful for that, those on the streaming side, as well as our, what is the other one? The streaming and...
Facebook and website.
Website, that's right. And so whether you just let us know, you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 18. It's a very interesting chapter, and it's a brief chapter, but it's got a lot in there that I think will be applicable to what we are yet going through. And there's a word here for leaders as well as those who have gifts, and how even David in his time was able to recognize and understand how to use people's gifts and their talents so that he could go forward and be successful. And I think that's going to be clear for us as we look at this particular chapter tonight. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together. God, we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for allowing us to see this day. And we are grateful that you have included us in your plan for this day. And God, we pray for each person that's on the call and those who will view this particular virtual Bible study by playback or later today or even tomorrow. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, as we always do, Lady Kim, we start out just kind of reflecting. Last week was a pretty busy week for us as we made our way to Sunday. But that was en route to us going to the Black Ministers Retreat in Birmingham, Alabama, and sharing with ministers from across the country as the Disciples of Christ have an annual Black Ministers Retreat. And so I believe this was your first retreat in a while, wasn't
it? Yes, in numerous years.
Mm-hmm. And both Lady Kim and I were scheduled last week in Birmingham to do the devotional services, one Wednesday and the other Thursday. I started out Wednesday, and Lady Kim closed out in grand fashion on Thursday with the devotional before all of the other things began to take place. It was like setting the tone for the day with a word of inspiration and giving people a clear signal as they were moving forward. And so, Lady Kim, you did an excellent job, and you don't like me to talk about you like that, but they forgot all about what I had talked about on Wednesday after hearing Lady Kim. They were like, they were awestruck and they were amazed. And did not our hearts burn as we shared? You all know I'm from Birmingham, and we had a chance to move around a little bit. Dr. Quarlee Seymour was with us as well, as this was her first Black Ministers Retreat. But we had a grand time, and it was an excellent presentation as they focused on the letters from Dr. Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add to that? We saw some people we hadn't seen in a while, and we had a chance to fellowship and to just really retreat a little bit and get some inspiration as we prepare to move forward.
Amen. It was an awesome time in the Lord. Like you said, we had a chance to see people that we had not seen in a number of years, and got to fellowship with some people that we see all the time. Dr. Crystal Williams was there, mm-hmm. and
General Minister was there.
The General Minister, Reverend Teresa Horde Owens, was there, and so Reverend Tunstall was there.
That's right.
Lisa was there, Dr. Lisa. So we had a great time in fellowship, lots of laughs and lots of word, and we just had a great time.
That's right. All right, well, and then we came back. Of course, we started our fast on Friday, and we were just getting ready for that. And let me encourage those of you who have not started, or maybe it slipped by you, that you still have an opportunity to participate in this fast. It's a 23-day fast, and we set it up and designed it so it would be symbolic of our 23rd anniversary, but it's also 23 days leading up to Easter. And I tell you, Easter is going to be here before we know it. And so there's information on the website. And if Theron is on, she'll probably just put a tag on there so you can go to that information. But we certainly hope that each of you can participate with us in this 23-day fast, as we just use this as a time of reflection and renewal, and also a time of discerning the voice of God and setting us in position for a mighty move of God as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Sister Theron has put that information on the screen, so those of you who have not had an opportunity to get that information and want to participate, it's not too late, and we hope that you will join us and be a part of what God is going to do as a result of us consecrating ourselves as we move forward to Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what happened in the worship experience on yesterday, Lady Kim.
Oh, we had an awesome time in the Lord as usual. You could feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in that place. You preached again from Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4. I'm looking for a miracle.
Okay.
You know, and you used some of the lines, quoted some of the lines from the song, I'm looking for a miracle. I expect the impossible. I can feel the intangible.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the invisible.
Right.
Yeah. But the sky is the limit to what I can have.
I believe it and receive it, and God will perform it today. Angela's asking for that website information. It's anointedtemple.org. And if you look at Theron C, where she has already posted that information, you can click on that, Sister Angela. And it's so good to see you on tonight. You can click on that link that Theron C has already posted here tonight, and it will take you directly to the site. But it's anointedtemple.org, and it should be there if you can't get through this link here.
Amen. And so Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4, talks about the man who is the leper,
mm-hmm.
And how he came and worshiped Jesus and asked the Lord that, if you're willing, make me clean.
Right.
And the Lord said that he would make him clean, and immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And so you did mention some points on yesterday. You have to have faith to overcome your feelings. You know, sometimes we get in our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The leper was looking for a miracle, and we're all looking for our miracles.
That's
but
right.
We have to get past our feelings, of doubt, our feelings of not shame, but our feelings of not wanting to reach out for help.
Okay, that's key right there, isn't it?
Yes, overcoming our feelings. Whatever feelings we have, you know, you mentioned us feeling some kind of way. And
right.
I don't know who made up that little saying, but, you know, that just describes a feeling that you don't quite feel yourself, you
mm-hmm.
know. But we have to get past our feelings if we want our miracle to happen. And then we have to have faith to overcome the doubters.
Right.
Because we always going to have some doubters or some haters. You That's can't right. tell everybody what you're going through.
That's right. That's
because,
right.
you know, they're just going to get in on the pity party with you. Mm-hmm. But you have to have some people that speak into your life, some positive things in your life. And you have to have faith to overcome your situation. And you talked about that we need a problem and a word, and we need to introduce our problem to the word.
That's right. That's right.
So that was good right there. You tell your, don't, I heard a saying, don't tell God about your problems, but tell your problems about your God.
That's it. That's it.
So that's a good saying. And then you have to have faith to overcome the enemy,
mm-hmm.
because the enemy is going to throw things at you at lightning speed. But when faith meets the promises of God, and you activate the word of God, mm-hmm. miracles will manifest every time.
That's right. That's right. And you know, as you made that statement, and as I did on yesterday, many times the miracle that we expect in the natural is not always what God is going to do in the spirit realm. And so we might be asking God to do one thing, but God knows what's best for us. And when he does open a door, when he does supply a need, that can be very well a miracle in our lives.
That's right.
And so we have to be mindful. I think it was another song, "Any Way You Bless Me, Lord,
I'll be satisfied.
And so when we consecrate ourselves to God and we commit ourselves to the word, and then we activate that word, you can expect something powerful to happen in your situation. And so we have to be mindful of that, because, you know, we are a miracle ourselves, Lady Kelman. Whenever God gives us an opportunity to see another day, whenever God gives us an opportunity to continue to go forward and be productive, you know, people take it for granted, but that's a blessing. That's a blessing from God.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're right.
All Amen. Right.
You know, and you know, when we talk about this man's condition, you mm-hmm. know, his condition described who he was.
Right.
In the Bible, they just said he was a leper. Mm-hmm. They didn't say his name was John. They didn't say his name was Thomas. They just said he was a leper. And so it defined his condition, described who he was.
Okay.
And so we need to let God's word define who we are.
All right.
You know, and you mentioned some Bible verses, you know, I'm more than a conqueror.
That's right.
Through him that loved me.
We're a chosen generation.
Chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
That's
We're
right.
blessed in the city,
right.
blessed in the field. So we need to let God's word define who we are, and not let our condition or where we are define who we are as a person.
That's good. And one of the things about this leper, he broke all protocol, and he did not allow that to hinder him from getting to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, I think, even in the church, we expect people to act a certain way or to do things according to the program or the outline that we have described. But there's sometimes will things will happen where if you're in need of God doing something in your situation, you don't focus in on all of that, but you focus in on trying to get the breakthrough that you're looking for.
Right.
And I think in this case was so it was with this leper, because he had a whole lot going against him. And but he, when he saw Jesus, he ran and he worshiped him, and he asked him to heal him. He said he wanted to be made whole. And Jesus said, yeah, I can do that for mm-hmm. you. And Jesus broke protocol too, because he reached out and touched him.
Right.
Can you imagine yes. how the other people around him must have felt?
Oh.
Yeah, they probably took a deep breath and moved back. Mm-hmm. And the man was healed and he was cleansed. And mm-hmm. he ran on and he told the story about what the Lord had done for him.
Yes, yes. And the reason why, you know, when people were unclean, mm-hmm. he was a leper and he was considered unclean because he had an incurable disease.
That's right.
Now, leprosy is still a disease in our society today. But because of technology and medicine, it's called Hansen's disease. And the doctors can diagnose it early enough and catch it early enough where they have medicine now that you can take, and you don't have those debilitating effects from leprosy. And so, but before that medication was discovered, there was no cure for leprosy. And so people had to live outside of the community without their families. Sometimes they lived in communities of lepers, you know, all together, because they had to stick together for their survival. But when Jesus touched him, you know, and that was like a forbidden thing because leprosy was so contagious. Jesus reached out and touched the man and healed him. But you know why I think Jesus healed him? Because the man came with such a humble spirit.
That's good.
And the Bible said that he worshiped him. He came to worship. He came, and in the midst of coming to worship, he said, if you will, you know, you can heal me.
You can heal me.
If you want to, you can heal me. But he came to worship God. And how many times do we come to church to worship? Oh, we come to see what people got on. We come to hear what the choir is singing. We come to see how the preacher is going to hoop. You know, but how many times do we come to church just to give God worship? You know, and there's a difference between praise and worship. You know, we praise God for what he's done for us, the stuff that he woke us up. We praise God for that. But we worship God just because of who he is. God is awesome. God is omnipotent. God is, I don't know about y'all, but God is my everything.
Yes, he is.
So when we come to church to worship, we can get a miracle and a breakthrough.
And so people have to come with a mindset that I'm going to enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise, and I will bless the Lord, and I'm going to be all about giving God his due, because he's worthy of all of our praise our worship. And so we have to set our minds in such a way where we're not focusing in on what we're going to do after church. We're not looking at who's looking at us, but we're looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if we have an issue or a problem, then we need to be serious about asking God to do something about our situation. The Bible says we have not because we don't ask. And many times we ask amiss so we can consume it for our own lust. And so we have to be mindful of the fact that if we but yet align ourselves with the word of God, we activate that word and we live in obedience to what God would have us to do, then God's going to bless us. He's going to provide all of our needs. That's what the Bible says. His promises are sure and his satisfaction is yet guaranteed. And when you activate your faith in such a way that you're trusting God and you're leaning not to your own understanding, the Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct your path. And so breakthrough is nigh thee if you but yet trust in the timing of God.
Amen. And if we choose to worship him, our situations will change.
That's right.
Just like this leper situation changed. The man believed God, and God changed his life forever. So, you know, we have to overcome our feelings and know that God is able.
Okay. That's a great review from yesterday as we had worship and we baptized too on yesterday. And I tell you, it was just a full day as we just had a great time in the in the Lord. And we're certainly grateful for all of those who were viewing virtually and those who were present and in-person worship.
Amen.
It's good to see Sister Jennifer Burton on the call tonight.
Amen.
Praise God for you, and we hope your family is well. And we're certainly grateful to have you on the call tonight. All right. Well, we're in the 18th chapter of First Chronicles. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
And this chapter really, as we kind of talked a little earlier, it kind of sets the tone for a continuation of what we've already talked about in the 17th chapter. David has brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He's galvanized his troops, and now he's setting up his security, the security of David's kingdom.
Amen.
So he's still fighting the enemy. He's still conquering many of the tribes that were in the territory. But here he is now setting up his security, and he's also making sure that those who have gifts, he aligns the gifts, and he gives them positions in terms of responsibility.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So I think a couple of things here, Lady Kim, we can lift up. The title for, as we've already indicated, the security of David's kingdom. And then it talks about how David subdued the Philistines and the Moabites.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find that this 18th chapter, it parallels the 8th chapter of 2 Samuel.
Mm.
And so you'll see the same conversation happening in 2 Samuel. But also you will see a little bit here, as Lady Kim prepares to read, about how David's administrative skills began to come forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll also understand a little bit about how David put his trust in some of the people, particularly those that he had conquered,
mm-hmm.
and how he presented all of the gifts that he had received as a result of conquering these particular nations and presented them to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so David is really aligning himself in such a way where he has built a secure situation around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he even has some armor bearers or bodyguards that he has established back then. They did not call them that, but mm-hmm. they were like mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
And these were people that David had conquered. And David saw that they were loyal to him and the children of Israel, and he used the gifts that they already had based upon their military skill set, and he put them around him as bodyguards.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, because it's interesting to note that you would use people that you conquered.
That's right.
As your confidants or as your bodyguards,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he must have taken care of them well.
Yes, he did.
In order for them to take such good care of David.
Okay. Well, you ready to read? There are only, 17 verses here?
Yes.
And we're going to start at verse number 1, and then we'll just kind of read down through, let's read all the way through about verse number, where you see a good stopping point.
Well, 13? Yeah, well, not until about verse 13, because verses 1 through 13 talk about David conquering neighboring nations.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that has a theme or a thread right there, that David is conquering these neighboring nations.
Okay. Now, these were nations that were already established,
mm-hmm.
and David went out with his men to do battle against them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we'll find that all of the things that they had became his.
Yes.
And he presented some to the Lord and used the others, some for his personal use, but the majority of the gold and the silver, he presented it so that there would be room enough for everybody to enjoy the spoils, if mm-hmm. you will, mm-hmm. of war.
And later on, Solomon used a lot of it for the temple.
That's
when
right.
He built the temple.
That's right.
The bronze and the brass and the things that they had gathered were used to help build the temple.
Okay.
All right. First Chronicles, the 18th chapter, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV version today. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Gath and its surrounding villages from the control of the Philistines. David also defeated the Moabites, and they became subject to him and brought him tribute. Moreover, David defeated Hadarezer, king of Zobah, in the vicinity of Hamath, when he went to set up his monument at the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Armenians...
Let's stop right there for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because this second verse, Lady Kim, read that again, because there's something powerful happening here in terms of David conquering as many people as he did in their possession. And it says a lot about how you talked about a few minutes ago, them being willing to surrender to David, and David used their gifts, and they became loyal to David. That's an amazing feat that mm-hmm. happened here. But read that second verse, the third verse again. I'm sorry.
Moreover, David defeated that
mm-hmm.
one. Moreover, David defeated Hadarezer, king of Zobah, in the vicinity of Hamath. When he went to set up his monument at the Euphrates River.
And verse 4.
David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers.
Wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a whole lot.
That's a whole lot. So if he captured that many and he conquered them, then he had to have a full set of soldiers to fight and conquer that many people.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
What happened after that?
He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses, and by hamstringing them, he disabled them.
Uh-huh.
And so they only had about 100 horses left. So right. I guess they couldn't fight back because he had disabled the horses or cut the horses away from the chariots or disabled the horses.
Mm-hmm. And when you see that he hamstrung them, you think about the hamstring and how that's where the power and the mobility in terms of them, the horses going forward. He did mm-hmm. not kill them, but he disabled them so that they would not be a force in terms of trying to, being used to
go before them in battle.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right. And so just like when athletes suffer a hamstring injury, many of them, it takes almost a full season and more for them to come back. And when they do come back from that injury, they are not as mobile or agile as mm-hmm. they were before the right. injury, even though they can still perform, mm-hmm. but they don't have the lift or the power mm-hmm. that they had before that happened.
Amen.
And so these horses didn't have that. Can you think of these big horses going into battle? They did not have that force or that energy that they would have had not David hamstrung them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
And so we've got to hamstring our enemy because
Amen.
We've got to disable the enemy because mm-hmm. the devil is a liar, and
yes,
we got to make
is.
Sure that we keep him in his place. And you've got to know what to do and how to do and how to handle the enemy when he's trying to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody type hamstring. I got a hamstring. That's right.
Hamstring the enemy.
Hamstring the enemy. Come on,
Amen.
Somebody type that in the margin, because that's key. Because if you allow him to continue to come with full force, then you're going to have a tremendous battle on your hand. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in pulling down of the strongholds of the wicked one. Isn't that what the Bible
That's
said?
Yes.
And so we've got to hamstring that enemy. You know, he's still trying to play havoc with you. But we decree and we declare tonight that the enemy will have no power to go forth and be effective.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5, when the Armenians of Damascus came to help Hadarezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them.
How many?
22,000.
Wow.
That's awesome. He put garrisons in the Armenian kingdom of Damascus, and the Armenians became subject to him and brought him tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went.
So they brought him tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of the surrender tactic in terms of them surrendering and knowing that they have been defeated.
Right, right. Yes. And so, you know, when it talked about garrisons. Mm-hmm. Garrisons were like fortified places where troops are stationed.
Okay.
So that's what a garrison is. So that was in verse number 6, I think. He put garrison. So he had a fortified place in the kingdom of Damascus.
Yeah, that was in verse number 6.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verse number 7. David took the gold shields carried by the officers of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem from Tabah and Kun, towns that belonged to Hadarezer. David took a great quantity of bronze, which Solomon used to make the bronze seat, the pillars, and various bronze articles.
Okay, so you just made mention of that a few minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
how we know that David, we talked about it last week, wanted to build the temple.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet came to him and reminded him of his deeds. And it was interesting, as we talked about last week, how David recognized what the prophet had to say, and he humbled himself. And then he sought the face of God and asked God to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was instructions during the time when the prophet, who was that Nathan,
mm-hmm.
came to him, that he was not going to be the one, but his son was going to build the temple.
Right.
And so we see now where Solomon is appearing, even though, and he's gathering his momentum in terms of what he's going to need in order to build this temple for God.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And so you left off, I believe, at verse number
9. Uh-huh. Yes.
We're in 1 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, for those of you just joining us, and we're just moving through, and good to see Brother Ryan on tonight. We're just going through tonight and just kind of talking about some of the things that's happening. But David is, he's made his conquest. He's aligning all of those whom he has defeated, and he's putting them in position so that they can be they can be an asset to him and not a liability. And all of these people, these nations that he's been able to overcome, they have submitted themselves to David, and they recognize that he had the power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And not only power within himself, mm-hmm. they recognize God's
power. That's good. That's
working
good.
In him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think they were so subjected to him.
Okay.
Because they realized that it was not David, but God,
mm-hmm.
Who was able to allow him to conquer.
That's good.
And overcome
good.
These nations and surrounding kingdoms. Verse number 9 says, when Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadarezer, king of Zobah, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over wow. Hadarezer, who had been at war with Tou.
Mm-hmm.
Hadoram bought all kinds of articles of gold and silver and of bronze. King David declared these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and the gold he had taken from all these nations, Edom and Moab and the Ammonites and the Philistines and Amalek. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, struck down 18,000 Edomites what? In the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom. And all the Edomites became subject to David.
Mm.
The Lord gave David victory wherever he went.
Wow. So that tells us a lot about David's power and where his power comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helps us to understand that when we come in a humble attitude and when we yield to God's will for our lives, and God will go with us.
Amen.
Even as we go into battle.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we are defeated, Lady Kim, because we have not submitted ourselves or surrendered ourselves to the will of God.
Amen.
But when that happens, it's not you fighting the battle. The Bible says, be still and let the Lord fight your battles. Mm-hmm. And all too often we find ourselves trying to fight a battle that's only God can fight.
Amen. Amen.
And so we see that coming out here as David shows a lot of humility, and the troops that recognized that he defeated, they recognized that it was an unusual power, mm-hmm. that it had to be God supporting him and giving him victory.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It had to be God. All right. And so in verses 14 through 17, it talks about David's administration.
Okay.
You know, these are the last few verses in this chapter. Verse number 14, we're in 1 Chronicles 18. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Zadok, son of Ahithub, and Imelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Shava was secretary. Benaha, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kenathites and Peliathites, and David's sons were chief officials at the king's side.
Wow, wow. So David is administering his and giving people authority and position at this mm-hmm. point, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's using all of those whom he had defeated, and now he's surrounding them himself with the skill set that they may have had in battle or in their nation. And he's given them specific instructions in terms of their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so David here is not only showing his military strength, but he's also exhibiting his organizational skills.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think the people were loyal to David again, because right in verse number 14, it says David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right mm-hmm. for all his people.
That's right.
So he brought those folks in and he treated them well. He did what was right. And you know, when you see somebody doing what's right, you don't mind following somebody who's doing what's right.
That's right.
You know, you gain confidence, and then you see what he has done, what he has accomplished,
mm-hmm.
how he has conquered all these nations, 22,000 people here and 18,000 people there. And, you know, all the, that's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of folks.
And to take all these folks and to bring them back and have them subject to you as a person, that speaks volumes.
That's right.
And so they knew that God was in the midst. They knew God had orchestrated all of this. And they weren't afraid to follow David, because David treated them well.
Okay. And David was not afraid to align himself with those whom he had defeated
mm-hmm.
and use their gift set, skill set, in order to help him in terms of building his kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
And so, Lady Kim, I think if we try to break this down and see how it can apply to us, people come to the church from all kind of backgrounds and different walks of life. But when we get a sense of their surrender and their willingness to follow and to be obedient to the word, then we go through a process, of course, of, you know, leadership training and making sure that they understand what is expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot hold people to what they have done in their past, because God has already released them from their past. But many times in the church, we hold people based upon what they did in their past, and we remember their old deeds, and we don't allow them to move any further than what we remember about them.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, it's hard for us as people to get past, like you said, what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But when people show that they have made a commitment to the Lord
right.
and have changed or are trying to change.
That's right.
Because it doesn't come overnight.
It doesn't happen overnight.
But if we embrace them and love them and help them and train them, eventually they'll start moving more and more on the Lord's side than walking more and more with the world.
That's right.
You understand what I'm
mm-hmm,
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come out of the world, we have to retrain our thinking. We have to learn how to walk with the Lord. We have to learn how to gradually let things and people go
mm-hmm.
So that we are able to take on the character of Christ.
That's good. That's good. And so we have an awesome responsibility as believers who've already moved further along in the journey than those who are just joining the journey.
Mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility to embrace them and handle them with care and give them, we have to show them the love of God and not remind them of their past.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's obvious in the church that many times we hinder people from, say for instance, somebody wants to work in the ministry and mm-hmm. they are eager and they're ready to go, you know, and they're ready to do something, but they get into a committee or they run up against some people who feel threatened by new people coming aboard
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, and then they don't embrace them as they should.
Mm-hmm.
But that should not be so in the church. And so we have to learn how to embrace people because all of us have a past. All of us have something we used to be, you know. And some of us are still struggling. Others of us are further down the road than some other people.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to show the love of God. And you have to just think about how far the Lord has brought you. And just remember how wretched you were.
My Lord.
When you first
I don't wanna
came
think
in.
About it.
And how far you've come. And as I say oftentimes, it had not been for the Lord on my side.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody tell me tonight, where would I be? But I thank him for his keeping power. I thank him that he placed me in situations where people embraced me. I can remember when we first started and we were going down to New Bethel Christian Church in Greenville, Alabama. You remember that,
yes,
lady?
Yes, I do. How
second and fourth Sundays. And man, I tell you, we were so green till these people loved us, they embraced us, and I tell you, it's just amazing how the people just put their arms around us and encouraged us. Even I know some of those deacons and some of the older people
they
were
probably shaking their heads.
They said, "This boy, what is he talking about?" And mixing the scriptures all up and everything. But you know, you have to stay with people and you have to work with people. That was part of what Paul was dealing with Ananias and Sapphira. You remember?
Yes.
Was it Aquila? And who was it? You know, when he had to straighten out the fella and help him understand the word because he knew part of it, but he did not
mm-hmm.
know all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is even with us. We don't know the full picture, and people who are more mature in the faith, we have a responsibility to help people get to a place where they can run on their own.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they have to want to run on their
they
own
do.
Too.
They do.
You know, they have to desire the sincere milk of the word.
That's right.
So they can grow thereby. And that's in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. So you have to want to grow in the Lord. And as you want to grow in the Lord, people will help you to grow in the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
So, yes, it's important. And, yes, we have to take those people by the hand and walk them, so to speak, into the newness of life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be mentors and have to be coaches, and we have to embrace people. Even though you might see some things that remind you of from whence you've come,
right?
You still have to help handle people in such a way that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are trying to encourage them to get to a place in God where they can run and then they can go back and help somebody else.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
So this has been a very good, great study tonight. There are only 17 verses here in First Chronicles, this 17th chapter. 18th chapter. I'm sorry. Did I say 17th last time? 18th chapter. And what would be a lesson here for us, Lady Kim, that we can maybe hold on to a handle or two that will give us strength to run on as a result of reading this 18th chapter?
Well, that God will provide protection for his people, subduing the enemy and setting up a government using key people.
Wow.
So setting up administration, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
using key people. And you, as a leader, you have to be sensitive to the fact that you don't know it all. You can't do it all. And so you have to learn how to delegate responsibility.
Okay.
But you have to have the right people to delegate to. And you have to see the gifts in people that you pass the mantle to or pass the baton to. Not even pass the baton to, but give responsibility
to.
That's
right. That's right.
So, for instance, you might be good at... You might be good at preaching, but you're not good at accounting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Now, I know how to count some dollars and cents, but when it comes to trying to balance books and all of that, I'm not good at that. So I find somebody who's skilled in that area, and they take over that responsibility.
Okay.
So find something that you're weak in, or recognize whatever you're weak in, and find something who's strong in that
area.
Uh-huh. And bring them alongside of you. That will strengthen your administration.
Okay.
So if you look at, you know, how our government is set up, when the president is elected, he brings on all these cabinet members.
That's right.
You know, all these people that are experts
That's
in
right.
their area.
That's right.
And that helps strengthen his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find experts to enhance our administration. And that's what David did in this case.
Okay. And so it's important that we take this same application and apply it to the church, and then not to be weary in terms of, you know, where you are and where you come in, and not be threatened by what may appear to be people who are stronger in the faith mm-hmm. than you are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see someone who appears to have more faith or more whatever, that might be a signal for you to really kind of get close to that person so that they can help nurture you and encourage you in the journey. Because all of us have not been where we are now. But the Lord has brought us from a mighty long way.
A mighty long way.
What is Dr. Butler saying?
It's no shame in not knowing.
That's right. That's right. And so she's got all kind of little doodads going on right there. That's good. But we praise God for how God, he will send the people your way that can help you get to where you're trying to go.
Amen.
And so the leader has to have a sensitivity, and also a willingness to trust people with what he or she doesn't know.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so, if you are listening tonight and you're sitting on your gifts, and you say, "Well, Pastor, I have something that I can do to help move the church forward," then we want to hear about that. We need to know about that so we can go ahead and plug some things in, and I'm not afraid of people who are gifted, and I want to make sure that we surround ourselves with people who have the right gift set so that the body of Christ might be edified and that people might grow in the things of God. And I didn't just get there overnight. You know, it took a while for me to get to a place where I was mature enough to understand that, and so it is with others. You have to continue to trust God, but you have to keep moving forward, and you have to keep positioning yourself to gain additional knowledge and be around people who will mentor you and encourage you mm-hmm. in the walk, so that mm-hmm. when the time does come for you to take the leadership, or for you to be a Sunday school teacher, for you to do the prayer, mm-hmm. or for you to preside over whatever it might be, then you will feel confident in that, and you will know that you're ready to do what God has called for you to do.
Amen. Amen. That's good. All right.
Well, our time is getting away from us, Lady Kim, and this has been a great study. Did you have any other comments there that we need to lift up?
Well, just to recap on chapter 18 of First Chronicles, you know, it delves into the numerous victories that David achieved thanks to the help from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have major victories in our lives.
Okay.
If we just trust and believe that God is in control.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, I see some of the prayer requests are coming in. If you have a prayer request as we prepare to wrap it up for tonight, then go ahead and put that in the chat. We want to make sure that we intercede and touch and agree and believe God with you for what you are believing God to do in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all power is within his hands. There's absolutely nothing too hard for the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayers
of the righteous
availeth much.
Yes.
And if we but yet submit ourselves to God and activate that word, then as we talked about on Sunday, we can expect blessings and miracles to come our way.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I only see one prayer request right now, but I do have others. All right. Sister Mary, we got you.
Who is that? Sister Valerie?
I have Sister Valerie.
Good to see you tonight. Charles. Well, we can't see you, but glad you're on tonight. And we're going to be lifting Charles up in prayer as he prepares for surgery.
No, he already had surgery. He just got home
okay.
from the hospital
okay.
after 2 weeks.
Okay, all right.
Surgery. All right. And we want to lift up Sister Lena Jackson in St. Francis Hospital, as well as lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow. She's also in St. Francis Hospital. We want to lift up Sister Carolyn Mitchell in Baptist Collierville. We want to lift up Sister Gracie Bradley. Sister Gracie is home from the hospital, and we thank God for that. We want to lift up our sister Giselle Padilla in the loss of her mother, Inez Zamuk. She will be traveling to California soon for that service. So we want to lift up Sister Giselle. Of course, we want to lift up Brother Charles Rankins as he has returned home from the hospital after having surgery and being in the hospital for a couple of weeks. We thank God that he is home and on the mend. We want to lift up Sister Mary Liggins for a procedure that she's having on Friday. We want to lift up Minister Loretta Perkins for those headaches and the vertigo that she's been experiencing. And I've been having some issues with my right eye. And so I ask for healing for my eye.
Amen.
And so if there are no others, no other prayer requests. You have anything you want to add?
No, I think you've covered the ones that we're aware of.
Yeah, one more thing. The women's conference that's coming up this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for a mighty move of God during the women's conference on this coming Saturday at Anointed Temple of Praise.
Is it too late to register for that?
Well, we have a few seats left, just a few.
Okay. And what time is it going to be?
It begins at 9:30. Doors open at 9:30. It's going to start promptly at 10, but we need to get all of our registrants through the doors. Only those who have registered we'll be able to come through those doors. We do have just a few seats left.
Okay, there's a link there that is posted for those who haven't already registered. And you're pretty much at your break point now, aren't you?
Yes.
But go ahead and put that in, and I'm sure that y'all are going to accommodate people if they register today.
Yes, if you register today, as long as you get registered, then you will be added in the number. They're going to cut the registration off once it gets full. But as far as I know, there were just a few seats left.
Okay.
So if you can register, then do that, and you will be counted in the number.
Okay.
The conference is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., but we want you there at 9:30 so you can get registered and find a seat and get comfortable. We begin promptly at 10 o'clock.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Let us go to God in prayer tonight. Precious Jesus, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. We are here tonight, God, not because you need us, but because we need
you. Thank you, God. Thank you.
And God, we lay our prayers and our petitions before you tonight, God. We have many that are sick on our list, many in the hospital tonight, many returning home from the hospital, God, and we lift them before you tonight. We lift up Sister Carolyn Mitchell in Baptist Collierville.
Thank you, God.
We lift up Sister Lena Jackson and Sister Lurleen Goodlow in St. Francis Hospital. We lift up Brother Charles Rankins as he's made his way home from
Thank
the
you,
hospital.
God. Thank you, God.
We lift up Mother Gracie Bradley as she's made her way home from
Thank
the
you,
hospital.
God. Thank you, God.
We lift up Minister Loretta Perkins and the issue that she's having with
yes,
headaches
God.
And vertigo, God.
Yes, God.
We lift up Sister Mary Liggins in the impending procedure that will happen on Friday.
Yes, God.
God, I lift myself up to you, God, in the eye situation that I'm having.
Thank you, God.
We ask, God, a miraculous healing to be upon each and every person, oh God, who has asked for prayer on tonight, and those that are in our hospital, in the hospital rooms and on their hospital beds. We ask, oh God, that your healing power and virtue go forth.
Yes, God.
Now, God, we ask a special blessing to be upon Sister Giselle, God.
Thank you, God.
As she mourns the loss of her mother, God.
Yes, God.
We ask that you would comfort her heart, God.
Comfort her, God.
God, give her spirit peace and rest, oh God, as she gets ready to prepare to go to another state, God, to be with family members. And as she arrives, oh God, let her arrive safely, cover and protect and watch over her home, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless her, God, that you would continue to keep her, God, and that you would continue to provide all her needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for everything that you've done, that you're doing, and that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, we certainly are grateful for each of you on the call tonight. And Lady Kim has already indicated the Women's Conference. The information is there on the screen if you haven't registered already. And we're expecting great things to happen in that conference. And I know that you are indeed praying and looking and seeking God to do something powerful in your situation. So be encouraged tonight and know that God has not forgotten about you.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Love you guys. Bye-bye.